Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. During our 7 o'clock hour, we talked to Rich Fitzgerald, executive director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. One of the things he mentioned was jobs increasing in a number of sectors, including Amazon and Mitsubishi in Warrendale. Paul, in just a moment, we're going to kind of get a follow-up to that with Paul J. Goff of the Pittsburgh Business Times, because any expansion of the region is, I think, interesting and important to people in Pittsburgh and the surrounding counties.
And with such a large industry as well, Mitsubishi is no small company.
But I think a lot of people hear Mitsubishi, they think of the automobiles, but this is a company
far more than that.
Yeah, they do a lot of different things. And today, the federal government is expected to release an economic scorecard for the third quarter of the year. With a brief update, here's CBS business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
During the summer months, the gross domestic product, or GDP, is expected to show that the economy expanded by an annualized pace of 3%. That would match the previous quarter and would be up from the first quarter's so-so growth of just 1.6% on an annualized basis.
So, that said, we'll get the official word coming out later today. And right now, via video on the radio, you can see Paul J. Goff for the Pittsburgh Business Times on kdkradio.com. Paul, good morning. Good to see you again.
Yeah, good seeing you too, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
So, Paul and I, Rasmussen, we're talking about Mitsubishi and some of the other expansion going on in the region. Do you have some more details on what they're doing?
Yeah, Mitsubishi Electric Power Products, which is based in Warrendale, part of the big Mitsubishi company in Japan, is going to expand its operations here in the Pittsburgh region and build a 160,000-foot factory addition, square foot factory addition.
And will this also be in right there in the Warrendale area?
What? I'm losing you.
You froze for a second. Oh. Go ahead. We got you back.
Sorry about that.
It's all good.
So it's 160,000 square foot factory, part of their an expansion to their operations in Warrendale.
And the jobs created there, when will people be able to? I know people get anxious. They hear jobs are available. When will they be available?
Probably a couple of years from now. It's going to take some doing. I believe it's going to add about 200 jobs, and they've already got about 600 or 700 there, if I'm not mistaken.
Boy, and as Paul Rasmussen knows, that whole corridor up there, as you get to the northern Allegheny County and Butler County area, is just blowing up, isn't it, Paul?
It is growing like a weed up that way, Paul.
Yeah, it really is, and it's actually all. Airport with Mainspring Energy and some other companies that are doing work in this infrastructure electric transition.
And whatever happened to nuclear power? I know they built this giant campus for Westinghouse that was supposed to be the epicenter of building reactors around the world. Obviously, that infrastructure, all those buildings are still there. What is the status? Do you know, Paul?
You know, one of my colleagues covers that more in terms of what's happening at Cranberry Woods, but I can tell you that Westinghouse is actually really reviving itself and its business, the nuclear business. It opened for the first time a plant Vogtle in Georgia, which is the biggest and really first nuclear power plant.
Now, we lost you. Sorry, Paul.
Plant in state.
All right, we're losing you.
They've got some other ones that are being built.
Well, thanks for the effort. Paul J. Goff of the Pittsburgh Business Times. Read all about it.
Larry, I'd like to throw in about Westinghouse. What they're promoting lately, the last couple of years,
yes.
We've done a story on the smaller reactor. It's the a much smaller footprint. They feel that that has good applications. But now we're finding out, for example, out in the eastern part of Pennsylvania, they're going to restart Three Mile Island. because they need the power for this artificial intelligence. The amount of power that they have to draw, apparently, to have these run these servers for AI, is the demand is that high, and it's a clean energy source. It's you know, I guess that's one of the things that we might see an uptick in business pretty quickly now.
You know, when the Pittsburgh Speaker Series first started, one of the first speakers was Walter Cronkite, the late CBS News anchorman. And I had a chance to interview him for television. And we sat down and did a one-on-one. And my first question was, did he recall ever doing a big story in the Pittsburgh area? And he said, well, Larry, in 1954, the nuclear reactor in Shippingport, Pennsylvania, went online, and I was there. And I'm like, wow, Walter Cronkite.
That's when he was a reporter, right?
Yeah, 1954.
Yeah.
When you think about it, this region, and when it comes to energy, oil was discovered. Obviously, Oil City to the north, Franklin, those areas. The first oil wells were here, not Texas. Pennsylvania. And since then, all that's come out of that, nuclear power, and now we're sitting on this Marcellus Shale play that's obviously, everybody knows that we have this tremendous resource here for power. And then hydrogen is going to be the next big thing I hear.
I think that is ultimately the answer. And once they figure out a way to convert water into energy, we've got an unlimited supply of hydrogen to work with, right? I think that might wind up being the cleanest, most efficient use that we can come up with. Now, they have to figure out a way to do it without, it has to be more efficient than what it has been in the past.
And this Mainspring company that we've heard about in the last week that's going to put this energy generation system that can handle all these different kinds, including hydrogen, could be the game changer that we've been looking for. So we'll keep you posted here on the Big K. Remember that song?
Yes, I do. What a beautiful, beautiful, hauntingly beautiful song.
That's a good way to describe it. Hauntingly beautiful. So the original Kansas band members are going to, you know, when they really broke out, they credit Pittsburgh and Rich Engler, our buddy, the legendary concert promoter, for doing this, giving them their big start. They kind of filled in, and they're going to be, the Benedum used to be the Stanley Theater. And they had this tour. They started here for their 50th anniversary, and they're ending it here, which is kind of cool. And that's coming up on Wednesday, December 11th. So you got the band members. They're all going to come together for this, you know, one-off after this tour was announced in Pittsburgh. They're going to end where it started, which is kind of cool.
The song, by the way, there's an interesting little sidebar to the song Dust in the Wind. The gentleman who wrote the song was practicing just a finger pattern on his guitar. That was what you hear at the very beginning of Dust in the Wind. And I think it was his wife or one of the members of the band said, that's really beautiful. We should do something with that. And that's where it came from.
Yeah, I could see that. The beautiful guitar lick.
Yeah.
There's a story like that with Smokey Robinson, Cruisin', one of his big solo hits, right? And after the Miracles, he was a solo artist, and he had this, he had the music to Cruisin', right? 5 years went by, he said, and he was driving.
What, like without lyrics?
Without lyrics.
Okay, okay.
So he had the music in his mind, and he just couldn't find the right words that he felt went with the music. And you know what happened 5 years later? He was driving down Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles in a convertible. And he thought to himself, man, I'm just cruising.
That's great.
And it hit him just like that. Cruising.
And when that song starts, you know what you're hearing. I mean, from the very get-go, it's...
Yeah, he opened his show this summer here when he was at HM3 Independence Fund Celebrity Care Fest. him and Pitbull that day. It was incredible when he came out on stage. You know, the guy's in it. He's like 84 years old. Women, everybody loved him. They knew the music.
Yeah.
And by
he takes
the way,
really good care of himself.
By the way, that weekend, extraordinarily successful in helping Children's Hospital. $400,000 to Children's Hospital. I want to thank HM3 Independence Fund and everybody that participated, including our group here. That helped promote the event. Also, $100,000 to the Jerome Bettis Bus Stops Here Foundation and $100,000 to Mel Blunt's Youth Home, which has done extraordinary work for years and years. So it was very uplifting, the end result of that weekend. But Smokey, he's always got these great stories. I told you when I asked him, as a singer, songwriter, and producer, he's credited with over 4,000 records. Can you imagine? And I said, Smokey, can you pick one song? Oh, Larry, that's an impossible question. He goes, but I have a favorite song, I have a favorite album, and it's not mine. He said, at one point I lived near, Marvin Gaye was a neighbor, and he was going to visit Marvin, and Marvin's sitting at the piano, and he goes, what you working on, man? He said, that's not me, Smoke. That's the Lord writing this song.
Yeah,
and
that what's going on? Yep.
Yeah, which we... you know, open the show with on Fridays every morning, you know, and I told Smokey that I can't believe that. That's the same song I use every Friday. It's like when you're on a news talk station, what's going on is kind of your mantra. But I love that music
song. Well, the song itself is, and what we have is the instrumental version that these were musicians known as the Funk Brothers, the, you know, studio musicians at Motown. Doing their thing.
The funk. That's right.
It's just a wonderful sound.
I think you're the one.
So relaxing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such an iconic song. And keep in mind, Berry Gordy did not want Marvin Gaye to release this song.
No, this was a war protest song.
Right. And he didn't want any kind of controversy associated with the music. So even though the 60s, with all the war protest songs that were out there, he didn't want Motown to get involved. And Marvin had a brother that served in Vietnam. And he said, I'm writing this song and I'm putting it out. And the rest is history. And it was chosen by Rolling Stone magazine a couple of years ago as the most powerful song in the past 50 years, to give you some idea of the impact.
I don't doubt that one bit.
Yeah. And who's doing the music?
The Funk Brothers.
The Funk Brothers.
There's a lot going on there. It's simple, but there's a lot going on.
It's good stuff, man. Does something. Music can transport you to another time and another place. And I often love to listen to music while I walk because I want to be transported to another time and another place.
Not to mention just put you in a good mood.
Take a deep breath. Get out and enjoy this day. Seize the day. Carpe diem. All right, every Wednesday at this time, from KDKA-TV anchorwoman Christine Sorensen, who also happens to be the bride of her own Marty Griffin. And Christine and I were at Children's Hospital yesterday getting ready for the 71st annual Children's Hospital Telethon on KDKA-TV and KDKA Radio. Happy and honored to be a part of it. We were also with UPMC Children's President Diane Hupp and anchorman Ken Rice. So I think we were there only for about an hour doing the promo shoot. But Christine, I thought about, you know, with everything going on in the world, you spend 1 hour at Children's Hospital and seeing the kids and the families and what goes on there kind of changes your perspective for a moment.
That's a really great point. You're right. I mean, we get so caught up in our own lives and the politics, and you step away in a place like that and you realize what's really important and how a lot of kids especially and families are facing some really difficult things. So we're excited to be able to help with the telethon coming up in December.
Yeah, December 19th starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'd appreciate if you'd participate. All right, let's talk about Kidsburg. People know Montessori, the Montessori schools. They've heard of it, even if they don't know. What is the Montessori method?
That's the thing. A lot of people know of the name, but they don't really know what it is. So it was founded, the first school, in 1907 in Italy by Maria Montessori. She was a physician, an educator, and her tenets of how to teach and what's important for kids are still used in the classroom today. And that includes several things like hands-on learning. So at this time when our kids are spending so much time on their devices, this is really something that a lot of parents are drawn to. So for example, when I was looking at a class at the Montessori Children's Community in Sewickley, where I got to see this in action, a teacher brought in moss and the child was touching it, looking at it through a microscope, drawing about it, learning about it, you know, that kind of hands-on learning. And it was a one-on-one instruction. Then for geometry, they had little movable wooden pieces that the kids are moving around to create different angles. Again, this was a one teacher and two kids. And then after, another big component is they then do a lot of individualized learning and get to spend more time on things they're excited about. So once they get the lesson, then they go off and they do their own thing and do these assignments. And if there's something they're passionate about, they have the time and freedom to explore that more. They also have multi-age classrooms. So this was a classroom of first, second, and third graders. So the lessons are separate. They're all doing math at the same time, maybe, but they're doing different lessons, different, again, self-directed. But what's cool is the leadership opportunities for the older kids to mentor the younger kids to learn from the older kids. So that's really an interesting dynamic with that. So most of the schools are preschool and kindergarten, but there are schools, including the one in Sewickley, that include elementary and even middle school, where they have when you go in these classrooms, it doesn't look like a regular classroom. There's no desks for kids. There are little tables, but no desks, no whiteboard, no smart board. It's very different, even in the middle school. They have a house where the kids will live for a month during the school year over two separate periods to learn independence and how to live on their own. They have a shop that they work. It's very interesting, and I could see why a lot of people are really drawn to it.
Well, my brother Pat's wife, Amy, is that person running that for a long time.
Really?
Yeah, it's a really, I didn't know all of that, though.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear, because everybody knows Montessori School. We used to do school closings and delays, you know. That's one of them, but I didn't know all the ideals behind it.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
So you can go to kdka.com/Kidsburg. You'll see my story. You can see visually what I'm talking about of how this whole program works.
All right. Let's talk about, tomorrow's Halloween. Tonight is Devil's Night, they used to call it.
That's
right. I don't know if they still call it that. And then All Souls Day on Friday. And this weekend, Day of the Dead Festival.
Yes, exactly. So this is a traditional Mexican holiday celebrated on November 1st and 2nd, aligning with All Saints Day. And this Saturday in Squirrel Hill at a park, there's going to be a free festival. So much fun things going on. There's going to be live entertainment, a neighborhood parade led by the musical ensemble Timbaliza, kid-friendly crafts, face painting, life-size puppets, a community altar, and Mexican food trucks. So sounds like a really fun time.
And I love the Mexican artwork associated with Day of the Dead, those great skull masks that are really art. And if you've been to some of the Mexican restaurants, have, some of the decor and some of the ceramics with this great artwork.
It's absolutely
pretty cool.
I love that.
Great Expectations. That's a classic.
It really is a classic. And it is being put on by Prime Stage Theater, which is known for presenting shows specifically of books. So, of course, this is the classic Charles Dickens rags to riches tale where Pip, who's a young orphan in the 19th century England, his life's about to change in this world ruled by money and social class, and about does he find his fortune. What I love about the New Hazlet Theater, so these shows are this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so the 1st through the 10th, is that they always have shows specifically for people with disabilities. So there's one show specifically that is sensory inclusive, another show that is an audio description, so anyone who is blind can enjoy the show, and then a separate show that is ASL live caption for people who have hearing disabilities. So it's a really, you know, great opportunity for anyone to see it. And another thing that's really cool is they have Dickens' great, great, great grandchild, who's going to be doing a Zoom this Friday, this Saturday night, talking about the family connection and about things, stories that have been passed down. Yeah, it's going to be really cool. So that'll be part of the show too. So check out kidsburg.org. You'll see our list of all the fun things going on, as well as my Kidsburg story on Montessori.
And you were just at a show, speaking of shows,
another
at the
great show this weekend too. Yeah, this is part of the Broadway tour through the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust at the Benedum Center downtown. I saw And Juliet, which I didn't really know much about, but it's a kind of funny farce take on Romeo and Juliet, like what would happen if they didn't die and there was a happier ending, okay? Yeah. But the best part of the show is not really just the story, which is cute and fun, but it's the music. So it's all songs that have been co-written by Max Martin, which I've since learned is like the biggest hit writer of the like late 90s, early 2000s. So songs from Pink, Demi Lovato, Britney Spears,
really?
Justin Timberlake, Backstreet Boys. They're all songs you know, except for one new song. The whole show, my friend and I were literally laughing and singing and smiling so much our faces hurt. It was that fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
See, And Juliet at the Benedum, kidsburg.org. Christine, thank you.
Thanks.
You're going to be back with, well, you'll be here with Marty's checking in.
Yeah, and then I'll be on his show from 1 to 2 today.
Beautiful. And until 2, Marty Griffin, get Marty. Marty's working on a story right now, wondering why there's a police vehicle outside the window. Christine, you know, you probably, Marty gets texts, probably has to be 24/7.
Oh, he's called police in the past to, you know, check on us to be safe.
Right.
Yeah, because there are people out there, you just never know.
Right. And but Patrick is also here. Here comes Marty. Everything all right, Marty? What'd you uncover?
Cops with warrants for you again.
What's going on, man?
Not to get too philosophical with you, but when we're younger, in our 20s, right out of college, let's say, you spend most of your time dressed up going to weddings, baby showers.
Oh, yeah.
Then as you get older, and I was talking to Christine about this, you have to learn to adapt to death. And honestly, they had a close friend die last week, right? One of all of us knew Ann Leineberger really well.
Former news director at KDK-TV.
Yeah.
My sister's struggling with pancreatic cancer. Someone I love dearly, one of my boys, insanely sick right now. And then you have a nephew that has a baby. These sorts of things that as you get older, if you don't manage it, you end up under your covers thinking the world sucks. But it also gives me this perspective, and I talk to my kids about this and certainly my wife, in that this rhetoric, like Republicans were gleeful that Joe Biden said that idiotic statement about saying these Democrats, these followers of Trump, are garbage. They were, my phone blew up. They couldn't wait to rat out Joe. You know what I mean? They're actually happy that we're so hateful toward each other. And I think until we can find a better way to make a difference, which we use around here all the time, then we're all just going to be jagoffs saying, hey, you're fat. No, you're fat.
Well, Christine and I were at Children's Hospital for an hour yesterday. You just spend an hour there, and it can help change your perspective.
It's really true.
What families are dealing with on a daily basis.
Well, plus the life that they see and the death that these nurses have to manage for a living. My sister, Sandy Tresser, has seen more dead than any combat veteran. And how they manage that and how we manage the victories in our lives with the defeats makes us a better man or a lesser man. And we can wallow in it or celebrate the victories. And it's our choice as Americans on a political scale. One of my friends who is an insane Trumper and goes nuts on Democrats, guess what she's thinking about today? Her dog is sick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's where the rubber hits the road.